Once this point has been made, of course, we might start to wonder, what about these pleasures? What makes them valuable? Why are the higher pleasures valuable? How do they compare with the lower pleasures? And we start to wonder then about whether or not the pleasure is valuable because of what it's a pleasure in, rather than the fact that it brings with it something like a sensation of pleasure. So let's lay it out for you, the hedonist view about what gives life meaning. What are the problems with this view? Problems with this view are actually contained in the saying of Mill's about Socrates and the pig, but that they need to be expanded. The point that's sometimes made here is that pleasure isn't really enough. Pleasure accompanied by illusion is not so good as not being under an illusion. It's a less good state of affairs. So we imagine a case in which a person goes through life experiencing a good deal of pleasure, both higher and lower pleasures, but actually they're under many illusions. For example, they believe that they have many friends who care for them and respect them. But in fact, they don't have any friends who care for them and respect them. Everybody just pretends to care for them and respect them. So the person goes through life, they feel quite happy, they say to everybody, I'm a happy person, I have such great friends. They get pleasure in the company of their friends. But in fact, all of this is based on an illusion. They have no friends. None of these people who calls themselves a friend is a real friend. That's a nightmarish scenario to anybody. Nobody wants to feel that they're in that position. They're a dupe, they're under an illusion. You would feel if that was so, if you discovered that was so late in life that you'd had no friends, it was all an illusion, you might, in fact, come to the conclusion your life had been meaningless, despite the fact that your illusion generated these pleasures. Sometimes philosophers consider the thought experiment of what's called the pleasure machine, where you put yourself into a machine, rather like Descartes' brain in a vat, and you put into it, and when you're in it, or like the Matrix, you go into the Matrix and you have a very pleasant life. But actually, everything you believe is an illusion. You have no knowledge. You have no connection to the truth. It's often felt that this is a life much less valuable than a life in which you are connected to the truth, in which you do know what's going on. So pleasure by itself doesn't seem to be enough. It seems to be pleasure needs to be supplemented with something else, that the absence of illusion, something else which gives pleasure, gives value independently merely of pleasure. Second point, of course, which I anticipated a little bit, is if you ask about some of these pleasures, why do you have the pleasure? What does it come from? Isn't the answer very often, because I take pleasure in something I take to be valuable? If I take something to be valuable, I will also experience pleasure when it's satisfied. For example, if I take scientific knowledge to be valuable, then when I obtain scientific knowledge, I may feel a sense of pleasure. But what's valuable? My experience there is valuable, not because of the pleasure I feel, but because of the thing in which I take the pleasure, the scientific knowledge. So it's rather that the value here, the higher pleasures, these kind of higher pleasures, derive their value from their objects, what their pleasure's in, rather than the mere sensation I have of pleasure, if indeed I have a sensation of these higher pleasures, that I have when, for example, I make a scientific discovery. So it's not so clear that this idea of pleasure is really doing the work in determining what makes a particular experience valuable. To many people also, the emphasis on pleasure will seem to strike the wrong note. It seems to be far too much about just oneself, egoism, you know, getting the most enjoyment for yourself and not anything else. That leads to the second suggestion about what makes life valuable. And this is the idea that what makes life valuable is morality, is virtue, is ethics. So why is a person's life valuable? Because of the amount of virtue manifested in that life, the amount of morality that person manages to construct in their life, and a life is correspondingly less valuable the less virtue there is in it. So the better the man is in terms of his virtue, the more valuable his life is, the more meaningful his life is. This is an idea which also goes back to Plato. Plato thought that there was a close connection between happiness and virtue, and the idea of the meaningful life and the virtuous life. So this is an idea we should certainly consider. Certainly there's something right in the idea that a life without virtue, an immoral life, is a life without value. Even to the person who has it, there's something defective in that. It's a meaningless life. If somebody goes through life being a petty criminal and never does a nice thing for anybody, we feel as if that's a meaningless life. And many people feel their life is given meaning by adopting large-scale projects of virtue, charitable work or whatever it may be, helping out people, adopting a profession which involves helping people. This adds to people's lives because virtue is a value. And what I'm saying there is pretty much a tautology. Everybody can see that virtue or morality is a value. It may be the prime value.